So maybe you've never been to the White House in fact, but we've all been there in fiction.
You will hand over your delegates and you will serve on in my cabinet. And we will forget that any of this ever happened. Because if you don't, I will never forget.
That is a clip from the Netflix series House of Cards. Kevin Spacey plays a sinister Southern politician who schemes and bullies his way into the Oval Office. That might be a sensationalized idea of what happens in the White House, but just how much of it is based on reality? Hopefully not much. With me now is Jay Carson. He worked as supervising producer and political consultant for House of Cards. He's also a Georgia native and is back in his home state to film another political drama, The Front Runner, starring Hugh Jackman, which follows Democratic Senator Gary Hart's scandalous 1988 presidential campaign. Jay's writing that screenplay. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Let's go to that essential question, which you must get all the time, which is how far away is... Well, let's start with House of Cards, because I guess the, how close it is really depends on whether you're talking about House of Cards or West Wing, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of two ends of the spectrum. When we started House of Cards, it was obviously fantastical.
And, yeah, and meant to be.
Of course, it was supposed to be entertainment. I used to say that... you know, if what was actually happening in Washington was that interesting, we would put 13 hours of C-SPAN on the air and everyone would just watch that.
I've watched C-SPAN.
And we wouldn't have to make a television show. But as we got deeper into the show and in this latest administration, it's I don't know if it's life imitating art or truth being stranger than fiction, but I have no idea what we would do. I mean, my friends still work on the show. I don't anymore, but I have no idea what we would do to go beyond what's actually happening in real life.
We hear the same sort of comments coming out of writers for, say, Scandal and other shows. And even Veep says, how do we turn this into a comedy? Let's actually hear a little clip from Veep, produced by HBO. Here's Selina Meyer, upset about some developments in the election.
Nevada is my state. I'm going to be president. I'm going to be the first elected lady president. I'm going to have a lovely inauguration. Billy Joel is going to sing. So you guys have to stop the recount.
I'm sorry, what?
Stop the count.
Right. Shut up, Gary. Ma'am, we can't.
I don't care.
The train has very publicly left the station and derailed at high speed.
No, yeah, stop the count.
Okay, so...
I love that show.
Now, what do you like about it?
It gets to the inanity of the world. Too often in politics, I find that political stories are generally told in a binary way. You're either a hero that saves the world or you're a murderous villain. And that's not how people are in real life, and that's not generally how people are in politics. And what I find great about Veep is that it finds the humor in the world, the ridiculousness of what happens on a day-to-day basis. You know, it misses a little of the earnestness that really does exist in Washington. I say this, and I really mean it, although it may not be true now in this administration, but 99.9% of people that I met when I was in D.C. on both sides of the aisle came to D.C. for the right reasons. Now, they lose their way at some point when they're there, at maybe a week after they get there or 10 years after they get there. Most people really are there for the right reasons, at least in the beginning.
Okay, we're going to explore that for just a second. First, let's hear another clip from House of Cards. Here's Frank Underwood doing what he does best.
Now, I'm going to say to you what I say to every congressman that sits where you're sitting now. Vote your district. Vote your conscience. Don't surprise me. And the most important one of those is don't surprise me.
Now, it sounds like you are your political opinion runs to the left of the current Trump administration. That's the hint I'm getting from you.
It does. I mean, I worked in Democratic politics for a long time. I don't know that I find myself at home in either party these days. I really don't. I mean, that's who I worked for a long time. I worked for both the Clintons, you know, as a political staffer for almost 15 years. But yeah, I would say, I guess I'm to the left of the Trump administration. I don't really know where the Trump administration stands on a lot of stuff. So, because, you know, on Monday it's this and Tuesday it's that and Wednesday it's this. I'm definitely to the, yeah.
And he seems to be feuding more with Republican congressmen, politicians at this point than Democrats.
I can't track where he or that administration is. But yes, I'm probably to the left of certainly their extremist views on things.
The reason I ask this is because as a journalist, I am with you. Somebody's political party tells me nothing about what kind of person they are.
Yep.
And then how do you then, I mean, people are always saying, you don't want to go in the back doors, right? Because nobody wants to see the sausage being being made. But that's been your job now, is showing that sausage being made to a certain extent. How do you turn that into entertainment?
You know, I mean, look, we did it with House of Cards, and people were wildly entertained, still are, and, you know, have been for many seasons. We took some of the I don't want to say worst, but for lack of a better word, I will. So we took some of the worst instincts of people in Washington, and we put them on the screen, and we showed the power. We showed power hungry. We showed venality. We showed the drive to succeed. We basically showed someone. I said most people come for the right reasons and then they lose their way at some point. We showed a man and his wife who had horribly lost their way a long time ago and what that led to, their drive to succeed, by any means.
Let's hear then a completely different kind of president. That is Josiah Bartlett of The West Wing, who that's often pointed to as being one of the best political shows ever.
Mr. President, the U.S. is trampling on the sovereignty of my country. And on behalf of President Nzela,
I've just taken your airport. Clearing the way for the 101st Air Assault to take the Capitol. 7,000 troops, 25 battle tanks, 15 Apache attack helicopters, and 3 destroyers. Strictly speaking, I conquered your country without the paperwork.
What's the different challenge between writing a Frank Underwood, who's also a Democrat, but awful and a murderer, mm-hmm. as
yes.
opposed to a literal murderer. That happens pretty immediately, so that's not a spoiler.
Beginning of the second season.
Yeah. So writing somebody who's more heroic.
You know, it's interesting. Those two shows, I think, were just right for their time. I love The West Wing. You're right. It is one of the greatest political shows that have ever been made, and it was perfect for the time. I think that's what people were looking for then. That was the story people were looking to be told.
To believe in government?
To believe in government, to believe in the people that were there, to see an idealistic version of it, but to see it in that great way that Sorkin can do it, where you get some of the behind the scenes and you get to understand the characters. We were telling a different story with House of Cards in a period where people had lost their belief in it and did believe in the cynicism that existed in Washington and sort of did believe in the darkness. And we just took that and put it on steroids and put it on the screen, and people loved it.
And ironically, that was actually about the UK first.
It was. I know. Exactly. We based it on a miniseries that was on
So that cynicism was there in the across the pond.
I mean, the cynicism's been there in Washington. I mean, in politics forever. It's just to what degree it dominates. I think it dominates now more than I have ever seen. But we're trying to tell a different story. I can't get too much into the movie.
You can't give us details about the front runner, but I do have one question, which is, what's the difference of it in terms of challenge between writing something completely fictional, like literally you can choose whatever happens with Frank Underwood, mm-hmm. including murdering people, as opposed to writing about a true story in a fictional way?
There's it's interesting. There's an upside and downside to both. There's a freedom to writing total fiction where if you want a character to throw someone in front of a subway train, for instance, you can have them do it. You can choose when and where they do it, who's there. You can just literally make it up. It all comes out of your brain. When you're writing a nonfiction story, you have to hew to the facts, and that actually... It can be a great thing in that it can require a lot of discipline. If you can make a factual story work and you can really create the drama around it, it can be a very difficult form of writing, but you also can't, as I said, you can't put 13 hours of C-SPAN on the air, and you have to figure out how to, combine details and sometimes compress time in a way that, that will keep the audience's attention without losing the essential truth and the fundamental truth of the story and the characters.
Has your time and experience in Georgia influenced the way you write about politics, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked for Hillary Clinton in her 08 campaign, and she used to always say, I don't know if she's ever said this publicly, but she used to always say, the best people to hire on your campaigns are Southerners. That we sort of understand politics at an innate level because...
At an emotional level.
People say, like, when did you learn to write? And I learned to tell stories growing up in Georgia because people would sit around and tell stories. And I don't mean that in some... We'd sit on the front porch and tell stories every day, but there was a way that you sort of learned to wind up and pitch a story growing up here that has been incredibly helpful to me in my writing life. And then... you know, being edited. I wrote a number of speeches for Bill Clinton when I worked for him, and being edited by him, another Southerner, and sort of saying, like, you know, I would remember I'd use a five-syllable word thinking how smart I'd been in that. And he said, why are you saying that word? Just say good.
And, that's not a bad Bill Clinton impression.
Yeah, and he was right. And so I learned to not overwrite from him. And so, yeah, being from the South has had an enormous influence on my writing, I think in a mostly positive way.
So in the 2 minutes that we have left, are you guys the chicken or the egg? In other words, are you helping to drive the cynicism about government? Are you only reflecting what exists?
I love to say we're only reflecting what exists. And I love to come back and talk about the movie because it really gets into a time where...
Once you can, yeah.
Yeah, when it comes out next year, I'd love to come back and talk about it. It gets into a time of where it changed, where our focus changed and where our values changed in politics. And I think it predicts where we ended up today with a celebrity as a politician. When we treat our politicians like celebrities, we'll end up with a celebrity as a politician. I'd love to say we're just reflecting it. I think probably sometimes we are, we are influencing it. But I don't think, the existence of House of Cards did not make D.C. a dark place. D.C.'s had its darkness from the very beginning. I mean, and people say, oh, politics has gotten awful now. People were caned on the floor of the House and Senate in the late 1800s.
Yeah. Like, Benjamin Franklin was a dog.
Correct. Beaten to a bloody pulp on the floor of the United States Senate. So it's been a dark business. Whenever you have that much power and money, it's going to be. But there have also been times where we listen to our better angels, and we're not in one of those times now, but hopefully we can return to it.
And that's not what House of Cards is anyway, Jay Carson.
That is true.
Political consultant, filmmaker, former producer for Netflix's House of Cards, currently working on The Front Runner. Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.